But Metziah Daf Samach Aleph, we're starting from the bottom of Samach Amud Beis, 3 lines up from the bottom, where the Gemara says Tan Rabbanan. So yesterday we clarified that the terminologies of Neshach and Tarbis really are impossible to find one without the other. And in fact, the Torah is writing both Neshach and Marbis as a way of creating a double lav. There's a double penalty. There's a double iser whenever someone lends and collects on interest, and it bites the borrower, and it also is a gain for the lender. So now the Gemara is going to explore all the different types of things that Ribbis and Neshech can apply to. So Tan Rabbanan, first we look at the Pasuk here, Parshas Bahar. It says, "Es kaspacha, your money, lo sitin lo b'neshech." You shouldn't give him for Neshech. So we know Neshech for lending money. And then the Pasuk continues, "Uva marbis lo sitin achlacha." And for marbis, you shouldn't give your food. So in the other Neshech bohavik, Ribbis bohavik. It sounds like from reading that the term Neshech would only be for money, and the term of Ribbis would only be for food. Neshech ba'ochel minayin. How do I know that the Isser of lending Neshech applies for food as well? Tam lomar, the Torah says in a totally different pasuk. Here we're quoting the pasuk later on. And say for Devarim, where the Torah says, Lo sashech la'chicha neshech kesef neshech ochel neshech kol devar asher yishach. So in that pasuk it says Neshech ochel. So that's pretty pretty explicit, that Neshech applies to Ochel as well. Says the Gemara, Ribbis be Kesef Minayin. How do I know there's the shame of Ribbis by Kesef? I only saw so far Neshech. Tamalomar, the Torah says in that pasuk that we just saw, Neshech Kesef. So that's really extra by saying Neshech Kesef. The Gemara is going to show us how Neshech Kesef is really going to mean Ribbis of Kesef. Why? Because Tapad Amid Aleph, it may no Indian the Neshech Kesef. We don't need that pasuk in Sefer Tavarim to teach us Neshech on a loan of money. Sharei Kvar Nemar, what did the pasuk say? Sashal Lechicha, we already had the pasuk that said, neshech of anything. So why does it, if the pasuk is there, it's going to say neshech of anything which can bite, then why does it have to specify neshech of money? It must be tenei inyan the ribbis kesef. So we say it's a way that it's coming actually to teach us the shame of ribbis by money. So it's an interesting way of darshaning, right? The Torah says neshech kesef, and we're really saying it means ribbis kesef. But that's sometimes the way the Torah works. If the Torah writes something unnecessarily, then we could apply it in a way that the literal meaning wasn't taught. So he really, it's a neshech kesef. But since it already said neshech kol davar asher yishach, which means that the neshech kesef is extra, so we say that neshech kesef really means ribbis of kesef. The Gemara says, Ainli elabalov. I would say that that din of ribbis on loans of money is only on the borrower. That pasuk that we just looked at, the pasuk lo sashech la'achicha, is actually talking about not paying. Lo sashech meaning it's in the hifl form, where it's actually referring to the borrower. But malvaminayin, how do I know that the isra of ribbis applies on loans of money? The shame ribbis applies to loans of money, applies to the lender as well. So just to clarify, the previous pasuk that we started with, the pasuk in Parshas Bahar, is kaspach lo sitin lo b'neshech. Okay, so there that's good. There that's clear that's on the lender, and it's clear that there's neshech on lending money. But that pasuk didn't say marbis on money. That pasuk only said marbis on food. The only way we know marbis on money is that from this pasuk in Sefer Tavarim. That pasuk in Sefer Tavarim is talking about the loveh. So the Gemara wants to know, how do we know on the malveh that there's an iser of marbis, of ribbis, on loans of money? So the Gemara says, we have exer shavar, nemar neshech b'loiveh, nemar neshech b'malveh. It says the word neshech in regards to the loveh and regards to the malveh. So the exer shavar teaches us, ma neshech amar b'loiveh. Shavar is when it said the term neshech by the loveh, lo chalat, when kesabin v'aichu, neshech and ribbis, there's no differentiation between whether it's money or food. And in the shameless of having neshech and ribbis, af neshech amar malveh, lo tachlo b'm kesabin v'aichu, b'm neshech and ribbis. So we say the same thing, that by the malveh as well, there's no chilek that applies neshech and ribbis equally to not only food, but money as well. Now, okay, so now we know neshech and ribbis apply equally to loans of money as well as food, and that it applies to the borrower and the lender. But now in the Rabbis Koldovar, how do I know that it applies in a loan of everything? So that's really included pretty clearly in that pasuk in Sefer Tavarim. Tam lomar neshech koldovar asher yishach. So not only is it money, not only is it food, it's anything which can be caused. Okay, so now Ravina says that actually you don't need to come on to such great lengths. If you think what just happened here was it got a little bit complicated. We had to bring two psukim from one from Bahar, one from Kiseitze, and make the Xer Shava and then connect them to one another. Ravina Amar lo neshech v'ochel v'le ribbis v'kesef tzrichi kari. Actually, the iser of neshech on food ribis on money, you don't need to go to a different pasuk. You can just look right there at that opening pasuk that we started with in Sefer and Parshas Bahar and get it. Had the pasuk been written differently, if it would have said, don't give your money for neshach, don't give your food for marbis, then you'd be right. It sounds like neshach is specific to money and marbis is specific to food. But if you notice carefully, that's not the way the Torah says it. Ravina says, hash the sib, how does the Torah write it? It changes the sequence. It says, don't give your money for neshach, and for marbis, don't give your food. So actually, neshach and marbis are appearing between the words money and food. So therefore, we could read the pasuk a little bit differently, placing the comma in a different spot. Kri behach, you could read the words a little bit different. You read it as gospel, it's in lo b'neshach u'b'marbis. Don't give your money for neshach or for marbis. U'b'neshach u'b'marbis, and don't give neshach and marbis for your food. So just read the pasuk, put the comma after neshach u'b'marbis or before neshach u'b'marbis. So therefore, neshach u'b'marbis go both on the loan of cash and also on the loan of food. So the Gemara says, how could Ravina say this? But we clearly had a b'risa that was trying to darshan it out. Atanava nemar kamar. Didn't the b'risa, Atan, whoever was talking in that b'risa, he was trying to make exer shavah. So how could Ravina disagree with the b'risa? Meaning Ravina is saying that you don't need to resort to that. You don't need to come out to that pasuk in Parshas Kisesi. You can really just see it from the pasuk in Parshas Bahar. So how does Ravina understand what the Tan of the b'risa was doing? So Ravina answers, halakama, this is what he was saying. Ilu nemar kam. Had it not been said, ha'isam exer shavah, we could have learned exer shavah. But actually, nemar kam, now that we do notice that the pasuk words it the way it did, Xer Shavah, Lo Tzarech, actually don't need Xer Shavah. So the Tana was really just going through the exercise of trying to understand what could have been. But now that the reality is that the Torah did write the words Neshach and Marvis next to each other between money and food, so then actually you don't need to come out to the Xer Shavah. So the Gemara has the obvious question, then Xer Shavah Lomli. So then what is the purpose of the Xer Shavah? So it's Gemara, the Neshach Kodavar, Sheishach, Dolok, Sazibah, Malveh. It's necessary for the Nesha Koldavar Sheishach, things that are not money or food, which the Torah did not write by the lender. That is only by the borrower in Parshas Kisese, and that, in fact, you need to come on to the Xer Shavah to extend that to the lender. Now the Gemara notices that there are three places in the Torah where it seems that the same concept is taught, don't take someone else's money. Amar Rav, Lamali Likas Rahmana Lava Ribis Lava Gezel Lava Ona. Why does the Torah have to write three different circumstances? Don't take interest, don't steal, and don't cheat in business with price fraud. All of them are the same thing. Don't take someone else's money. Why do I need all of them, all of these isurims? As the Gemara speaks, all of them are necessary. Because Rahman Allah ever said the Torah only wrote against interest and it didn't speak about robbery or price fraud. Mishum de Chedeshub. I would say, ribis, you can't learn anything from. It's very novel. Why is it very novel? Davila Belovas Rahman, we see the Torah asos on the borrower. If the nature of the isur is don't take someone else's money, then how could it be asur on the borrower when he's giving up his money? He's not taking anyone's money. So it can't be a source for general isur not to take someone's money. Because Rahman Allah Gezel, the Torah only wrote about Gezel. Mishum de Balkarcha, by Gezel, you're taking someone else's money by force. Avalonav, in regard to price fraud, where you're taking the person's money, he's giving it to you. Emelo, I wouldn't know what's included. Because Rahman Allah, the Torah only wrote not to cheat in price fraud, and it didn't write the other two. Mishum de Yadul Machel, there, the child is the victim, doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know he has a claim, right? He doesn't realize he's being cheated. He doesn't know it to be Mocha. Whereas with robbery and interest, but the victim is going to be aware of it, and he could theoretically waive his way to compensation. So maybe it's different. It's not as chamer in the sense that the crime, it's shayach to be meichel. It's something which could come to mechila. So maybe a type of taking of someone's money which could come to mechila, maybe the Torah didn't answer. So the Gemara notes that you're right. Obviously, you can't learn any two from any one. So the Gemara concedes that, but the Gemara says, chad mechadalate, I concede, I can't learn one from another. But tesi chad mechadalate, why can't one iser be left out and let it be derived from the other two? So meaning write two, leave out the third, and then that third one can be derived from the other two. So the Gemara says, well, hey Tesei, which one do you want to leave out? If you want to suggest that the Torah shouldn't say the lav of ribis, I'll learn from robbery and price fraud. I could say the other ones, robbery and price fraud, those are done without consent. How could I say it by interest where it's paid with consent? So maybe interest cannot be learned from gazel and onav. If you're going to tell me the Torah shouldn't write onav, I'll learn from gazel and ribis. I could say it's not good. If you think about what's unique about price fraud is that that's really the way of commerce. It's the way of commerce that you charge, you make a profit. So maybe, even though it's not necessarily market value, who says such a thing is asur? So I can't know that ona is asur just because the Torah asurs gezel and rivis. That's something very unique that takes place by ona. The Gemara says, you're right, there's one that's bothering us. The Torah should leave out gezel. Let me learn from ona and rivis. My parakha is, what kind of parakha can you bring up? What are you going to tell me? The interest is different because of the novelty that it's also around the loba. But that I can respond back. From ona, it demonstrates differently because by ona, you see, even though you don't have that element that is also on a bower, it's also. If you're going to say, but Bona is different because the victim's not aware that he has a claim to theoretically be Michael. But on that, I could show Ribis Techiach, that Ribis is different because he could waive his claim and still the Torah still asks the interest. But Bechazar, I didn't. We're repeating ourselves. We're going around in circles. What's the common denominator between Ona and Ribis? Yes, they each have different chumras about each other, but what's the common denominator? Lo Reisev, Lo Reisev, neither are not exactly the same. But at Sana Shavash Mem, Shekin Guy's like, the connection between the two, the common denominator, the Tzad HaShava is that Lamais, you're taking someone else's money. Afan Yavi Gezel. So the Tzad HaShava can therefore say that plain old straight up robbery is also Asr. So what's really bothering us is that if the Torah would not have said Gezel, I still would have known Gezel. Because if Ribbis is Asr, Ona is Asr. So I would know intuitively Gezel is Asr also. So therefore the Gemara is bothered. Why did the Torah write Gezel? Amri, what's the answer? Achanami, you're right. That really, robbing didn't need to be written. It could have been learned from the other two. El olav gezel amali. Why, in fact, did the Torah need to state the Isra against robbery? L'chovish shvar sachir. For something else, it's coming to tell us not to withhold wages from a worker. That's actually something different. Because you don't remove money from the person's possessions. You're just withholding money, which is owed to him. Says the Gemara, you don't need the litzer of gezel for that. That's a pasuk in the Torah. And there the Torah says, don't withhold the wages of a worker. So that's something which I don't need the Torah to write the lav in gezel in order to show that. If that lav is something which anyways the Torah says. So the question therefore comes back, why did the Torah write the lav in gezel? So the Gemara answers, lav v'lo b'shnei lav. No, the nafkamina is that there's going to be a second lav. The Torah wrote, don't steal, so that now if someone withholds wages, they're not just, are they going to be over on one lav of los ashrak sachir adi devin, but they're also going to be over on the lav of gezel. So it's not necessary for itself, but it's rather necessary to add an additional lav. So now that the Gemara comes out that way, that the reason why the Torah wrote the lav of gezel was to add an extra iser on kovish skar sachir. So frankly, Marv, look, my beriz will know. Once we're adding, so why don't you say that the lav of gezel was actually coming to add an additional iser to beriz von lavish and lavin to make a second lav? Why are we saying it goes on kovish skar sachir more than them? Maybe someone does beriz, there's an extra lav. Maybe if someone does another, there's an extra lav, and that's the point of those signals. Says the Gemara, davar halamin mein yano. There's a general thing that we like to put things and learn them in context. So that pasuk, when the Torah says that, the Torah says not to steal, if you take where it's written specifically in the context of not withholding wages. So therefore, that's why we assume it's coming to add for that. It says the Gemara, another question. Lo signovu, the Kazarach Anogamali. Now we notice that there's another pasuk. It says lo signovu. So why did the Torah have to say that? That certainly could have been learned as a status between interest and price fraud. So why does the Torah have to say lo signovu? It's like the Gemara l'chaditana. Lo signovu manasla meket. You can't steal even for the purpose of just annoying somebody. Meaning, you're going to give it back. You're just taking it away to temporarily annoy them. Still, the Torah asks that. Lo signovu manasla sham tashmi kevo. Or if you really want to get tzedakah to somebody, he has a hard time accepting it from you. So you come up with a great plan. Let me steal from him. It's going to be mechayev me to return it plus the extra kefil. So the Torah says, even like that, where you have good intentions and that's why you're taking it, it's still asur to steal. So what is the chiddush in the Torah to asur having a false weight? And Parshas Ki Seitzer, you're not allowed to have false weights. What's the chiddush of that? You could learn that from the Sada Shava of Ona and Ribbis. Amalei, Rav Ashi said, it's coming to asur, someone who buries his weights in salt to change the weight. So this, the point that we're saying is that he's going to put it in salt that it will change what it will weigh. But the Gemara says, you still haven't answered the question. The question is that by doing that, by having a false weight, you're going to cheat and steal. So that's exactly stealing. What did you answer by saying that you're going to bury the weight in the salt? How do you get them out of this regular stealing? Says the Gemara, lava lamashasasiyah. The point is that it's also from the time you make it. It's not also once you cheat. Cheating itself, you would have known already from the Tzad HaShava of Ona and Ribbis. But the Nafkamina, what the Torah was adding, is that already from the time that you make it, as soon as you put the weights into salt, even before you use them, you're already over on the Isser. This is the Isser where the Torah warns that you're not allowed to have false weights. So it says nothing wrong with judgment, length, weight, liquid measures. So about mida, when we talk about measures of length, what is that referring to? It's mida karka, the way that a person would measure land. Don't use a measure for the summer and another one for the winter. So what does it mean? Usually they would measure the land with ropes of length, and it would stretch in the winter and shrink in the dry summer. So if you're dividing up an estate, let's say that you have to be careful to measure it all up in the same season. Otherwise, it would not be fair. About mishkol, about weight. That's what we just said, that it's also right away to bury the weights and salt. Regarding the liquid measures, you're not allowed to allow them. When you're filling a measuring cup, the seller should pour the liquid gently and not allow froth to form, because then you're selling short, and when it settles, the volume would decrease, so that's not allowed. So now we learn a kavachomer from this last thing of mesura. If a lot of from kavachomer, really you can make a kavachomer. Rabbi mesura she echad b'shalosh mishish b'log, a mesura which is a liquid measure. How much is it? It's only 1/36 of a log. So in other words, mesura doesn't just mean liquid, but it means a specific unit. It means 1/36 of a log, so not that much. It could be the left Torah. We see the Torah is still makbanet. The Torah is concerned about it. You should be careful not to cheat, even though that's a very small amount. So now, kav chomer, all the more so, the hin v'chetzi, hin v'shlisha, hin v'viyasa, hin, for the greater amounts of lo v'chetzi, lo v'viyasa, look, certainly that is awesome. Says the Gemara, my Rav, alam v'chaz rachman, itzias mitzrayim, b'rivis, itzias mitzrayim, itzitzis, itzias mitzrayim, b'rishgalos. There are three places where the Torah, when it's mentioning the Isser, it adds that Hashem was the one who took us out of Mitzrayim. So it says that by ribis, it says that by tzitzis, and it says it by having honest weight. So why does the Torah, by each of these places, connected to Mitzrayim? So the Rava says, "Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Eibeshu was saying, Ani Lushivchati Mitzrayim. I was one who discerned in Mitzrayim at the time of Max Bachar's Mitibat Shabachar, the Tibashina Bachar. I had to discern between the Zera that made a firstborn and a Zera that didn't make a firstborn. Between, if you think about it, these Mitzrayim, the women, they weren't careful necessarily to only be faithful to their husbands. You could have a woman conceivably who has children, married Egyptian woman, and we don't know who the father is. Abishda has to come along and be mavchin and discern between what drop of Zerah made the firstborn and which one did not. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was busy with that, such a havchana. So Ani Ushasu Lipara, so that I can also discern Mishutom Lozobinachim Mavas on these suburbs. And the same thing, if someone falsely assumes, says his money is to a guy and therefore lends it to a Jew on interest, that's also, you know, it's lending to an interest. Well, God is permitted, but with a Jew, it's Osir. So someone who's faking that the money is really from the non-Jew, and really he is doing interest with a Jew, so that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will certainly punish. Misha Tov Nishkolos B'Mal, someone who buries his weights in salt. Misha Tov Kala Ilan Kenet B'Vigdo, someone who hangs sitzes died with a Kala Ilan. Kala Ilan is a fake Tcheles. It looks like Tcheles, but it's not the real stuff. For Omar Tchelesu, and he claims that it is Tcheles. So these are things which are left to Avkana with a discerning eye of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But that's exactly the lesson. Don't think you get away with it, because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mafkan Mitiba Latiba by Yetzias Mitzrayim, so he'll be Mafkan as well. He'll be Mafkan as well in these areas. Says the Gemara, Ravina Ikla the Surah de Pras. Ravina came at the town of Surah by the Pras. Pras is a river. Amal Rav Chanina mi Surah de Pras. Ravina Rav Chanina ben Surah. He said over to Ravina, Yitzias Mitzrayim, because Rav Chanina gave Shratzim lamali. Why does the Torah mention Yitzias Mitzrayim by Shratzim? It's an Isser not to eat Shratzim, non-kosher, creepy things that go on the ground. Why does the Kodesh Baruch Hu mention that he took us out of Mitzrayim by that Isser? Amalei Ravina said, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu Eivishra saying, Ani Ushif Chanti Mitib L'Bachav Shirin Bukhar. I was the one who was Mavkan in Yitzias Mitzrayim, seeing the Zerah from the firstborn, and the one that didn't wasn't a firstborn. So same way, Ani Asu Lipara, Mishma Arif Kirvei Dogim Tumein, Bekirvei Dogim Tahor, No Marchal Nisrael. Sometimes there could be a Yitzahar for a seller to mix the innards of non-kosher fish with the innards of kosher fish and sell them to the Jew and fake and pretend that it was all kosher. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that same lesson, that I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was mafkin in Mitzrayim what was authentic Bukhara and what was not, so I can do the same thing with those fish innards. Says the Gemara, Amalei, Ana Mala Kakashli. I had a different problem. Why does it say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I was Mala, I brought you up. It doesn't say, I took you out of Mitzrayim. It says there, by Shratzim, I brought you up. Why does the Torah use such an unusual word? Hamale, normally it says, Hashem took you out. Why does it say that? So Amalei, L'chotan Rebbe Shmuel, so L'chotan Rebbe Shmuel. Tan Rebbe Shmuel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amalei, L'chotan Rebbe Shmuel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, only the reason why I took them out of Mitzrayim was for this one thing, Shematam Shratzim, that they shouldn't be Matam themselves by eating these creepy things. Daya, that would have been satisfied. So in other words, that's why it makes sense that we're saying that Hashem says, I brought you up, because we're saying that this elevated us. This was the schus that we had to be redeemed from the tribe, was just to have keep that one mitzvah. Even just that, it would be worthwhile for us to be taken up. But why? What's unique about the creepy things? Why are they greater? Is there a greater reward for keeping that than ribbis, sitzis, or weights? So if it said hamala by shratzim, it could have said it by those also. Yes, it may not be true that the reward is more, but there's a certain repulsion. There's something that's gross about eating them. Those who eat them is considered really, really gross, or as someone who eats them was elevated. So that's why specific elevation. And there's a unique concept of timtum alei by macholos asuros. Besides for the fact that it shows asur, there's this actual effect that it has, and that's why amala, a state of elevation, we had uniquely because of that mitzvah. Okay, now we speak about the second case of the Mishnah. Says with tarbis hamar repairs. What is tarbis? The one who increases through trading fruit. Case of little chitim, and then we had that whole complex case in the Mishnah where someone was preparing for wheat, and then he converted it in the debt into wine, so on and so forth. So the Gemara says, why are you saying that's the case? Also, what on mino nashal lav ribis? It wasn't ribis until now. What did we come out that every neshal is also ribis, right? So if every neshal is also ribis, so the Mishnah. Terminology here, what is tarbis my parents isn't really right, because the thing before, the classic, I'm lending you $4, pay me back $5, that's also a scenario of ribbis. So why are we saying that this specifically is ribbis? So I'm Rabbi Avoh, I can't show Torah. The point is that before, when we mentioned ribbis in the Mishnah, it was also by Torah law. When I lend you and I stipulate, it's called ribbis kitsutza, where it's clear from the outset, it's lent on condition that more money is going to be paid back. That's called ribbis from the Torah. But from then on in the Mishnah, the case of trading the fruit, that is only ribbis and Darabana, because there I'm giving you the money, not stipulating that you give me back more. Stipulating you give me back wheat at whatever the price would be, but the price might rise. So that's a different issue. That's all Darabanan. It's only Darabanan. So now, once we establish the rise of Darabanan, now the Gemara is getting into a discussion if perhaps there are some practical nafkaminas between Ribbis Darayis and Ribbis Darabanan. So the Gemara says, Ad Khan, Yachin Rasha V'yuvah Shadik. There's a pasuk that says that the wicked person prepares, and the righteous one can clothe himself, can use it. What does that mean? I'm referring to a wicked person who charges interest, and he won't live to enjoy what he stole, but he'll pass it on to a tzaddik, to his righteous son, who will inherit it. In other words, the point that we're bringing out is that the yorish, the heir who inherits this ribbis from his father, does not have to return it. So Adkan, meaning the first part of the Mishnah, that applies that you don't have to pay back the ribbis. The Gemara says Adkan betulo, only there it applies. And it was even by ribbis Darayis, you don't have to return it. So and certainly by ribbis Darabanan, you wouldn't have to return it. So the Gemara says Ela afilu Adkan yachin rasha v'yavashadik. We mean even in the Reisha, even by ribbis Darayis, we still say that although the Rasha took it, the Tzadik does not have to return it. And we explain, Adkan Ribbis Kesusa, the first part of the Mishnah is Ribbis Kesusa, where it's prearranged interest from the time of the lending. Mikan Ve'elach Avak Ribbis, from then on it's only Ribbis Darabanan, which is called Avak Ribbis. So the first view in the Gemara seems to be that even by Ribbis Daraisa, the lender doesn't have to return it after it was taken. But now the Gemara discusses this. Amar Abulaz Ribbis Kesusa Yeitz V'dayanin. No, prearranged Ribbis, which is from the Torah, the court will recover it. They'll take it back. They'll take it away from the Malveh. Avak ribbis and yitzvah b'dayanan only, but the ribbis darabanan, that the judges will not take away. Rabbi Yochanan Amar filu b'susa, nami in yitzvah b'dayanan. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. He says even the ribbis susa, even the daraisa, the judges do not take away. Amar ribbis b'dayanan, Rabbi Yochanan, what is the reason for Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan says even ribbis daraisa, the judges don't take away. Amar krabba neshach nasa misarbis laka chochai. He gave an interest. He took interest. Would he leave? Would he live? He will not live. He has done all these bad things. So basically, the pasuk is indicating. Pasuk in Yechezkel, that a person who lends with interest is going to be punished with death. So the fact that it's saying there's punishment, that shows us that there's no way of being misak in it. There's no tikkun, lemisa nitan, that specifically the crime is so bad that it's given for death. Below Yishav, and he's not required to make payments. And that's the whole idea of paying back. Paying back is that you can fix it. If it's a monetary issue, you fix it. But here the pasuk is going out of its way to say that there's going to be a punishment, a death. So that shows you that the other way, that it's going to be a death, well, that would be the punishment, but it's not going to come it will not be able to be fixed just by paying it back. We see from the very positive says, so don't take the ribbis and you will fear the Eibishtah. So what is the Pasuk saying? You'll fear the Eibishtah. That means there's no way to fix it. There's going to be punishment coming from Hashem. So it's interesting. On the one hand, Sakula, the judges don't go take away the money from the lender. On the other hand, what we're really showing is that there's a chumrah where we say that the Eibishtah doesn't allow the tikkun. Says Gemara, Rav Amar, another source. Migufi de Krash Mele. We could see it from the pasuk of itself. What does it say? Most yumas gamav bo. Yeah, that pasuk in Chazal says surely die. The victim's blood is on him. Hukshem alvi rishuvli damim. We're comparing him to a murderer. Mashal chedam ledin lishavan. Just as a murderer is not nitin lishavan. Af mabi rishuvli lishavan. So we end up with different sources. But Akopadim, these opinions here in the Gemara, they hold that even Rivers Daraisa is not recoverable through the judges, but we did see a dissenting view, and it ends in a machlokes.